Wow, it's April 1st, 3:36 or so in the afternoon, 2012, April Fool's Day. It's no April Fool's, I'm home. I'm actually not home, sort of. I'm back in Colorado. I'm driving back from the airport now. I wanted to take an opportunity before I get buried back in home and family to kind of document some of the things that I'm thinking about right this minute. And I want to do that while it's fresh in my mind. I'm sure I'll have plenty of opportunity to consider it later as well, but it will never be as fresh in my head as it is right this minute. And I want to record it so that I'll have it for me. And I'll probably throw this up. I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to get anything posted tonight, but maybe there'll be a double post tomorrow or something. We'll see. Anyway, I think I have to walk away with a really heavy case of wow. Part of it is exhaustion. I've been on the road for the last 9 hours, actually a little bit more if you count the wake-up call at 4 a.m. Pacific time, which would be 5 a.m. local time here, which is makes it 10 hours. It's been a long, long drive, a long ride. I couldn't have done it, you know, if I was trying to drive at all. And it was a two-hour, almost a three-hour wait at the airport, which was good because it gave me a chance to do some things there with the laptop and with some writing. That it really is shocking, really shocking. When I went, some of you will probably remember, I was a little concerned that it's like, geez, you know, I'm pretty good with character and setting. And I was pretty good. Most of my stuff is basically character and setting. And some of the problems with it are overshadowed by the story, overshadowed by the voice, overshadowed by a bunch of other stuff. So they work. I don't have any qualms about them. It was been interesting for me. I spent a little bit of time yesterday working on the manuscript of Captain's Share to get that ready to go, assuming that Owner's Share is going to show in my inbox here in the next day or so. And Owner's Share, Captain's Share, really, I looked at Captain's Share and Owner's Share and Ravenwood as being some of my strongest writing. And I think it is, so far. But the stuff that I have learned in the last week just is amazing. It's just amazing. Now, whether or not I can pull it all together, I don't know. Whether or not it'll all show up, I don't know. Whether or not anybody will notice, I don't know. But holy cow. I can't turn this into a technical writing podcast episode because that would be kind of dull. But one thing that happened over the week is that my language skills went totally sailor. There were a lot of F-bombs floating around, and not just from Dean Wesley Smith, but pretty much everyone there. Part of it was a sensitization process for us. Because one of the very first things that he said to us was, stop being afraid of words. If it's the right word, use it. If it's not, don't. But don't be afraid to use the right word because you think someone might be offended by it. Which is, you know, it's something we all think about. I think every writer thinks about it. I think every writer thinks they do it. But I also know that I made a conscious decision on the language that Ishmael and company have and use. And I'm probably not going to change that. That's probably going to stay pretty much the same. Because I really like the feel and the flow and the opportunity to explore new ideas and profanity. And I like that decision. And it's a conscious decision. It's not something that I'm doing out of, some sort of opportunistic, atavistic fear. So, yeah, I'm going to write stuff and there will be swearing in it, but it won't be issued along the stories. Because that's not the right word for them. I had a great deal of fun writing the romance, and I think I mentioned how like greatly received that story was. I won't say it was the best story of the workshop. It was up there, though. It was one of the top two or three, for sure. There were some really great stories. Rebecca Senese, it's spelled S-E-N-E-S-E, Rebecca. She writes horror, paranormal, that kind of stuff. I really didn't get into her mainstream horror stuff, but she wrote a piece for the gangster anthology that was wonderful. It was the logical dystopian extension to the Catholic Church and the church as the gangster offering protection to pretty much everybody from the very real post-apocalyptic demon infestation. So it was staggering because it's not my genre. It's not my genre, but God, it was good. There was another one that was sort of a humorous story to go in the Shamrock and Shillelagh's anthology. One of the guys, it was Ryan, I can't remember Ryan's last name. He wrote a story about a leprechaun that was, and the leprechaun was actually in the form of a possum. And how he happened to meet the leprechaun, who was a possum, and the result, which was hysterical. It was so wrong on so many levels that we were all just pissing our pants because it was just so funny, and it was so well done. And not just because the story was a good story, but because technically the story was a good story and it was executed spectacularly. I think one of the things that I thought, one of my very closely held beliefs going into this workshop was, I'm not a writer, I'm a storyteller, and I want to tell good stories. And I think I've said that in a morning podcast a couple of times. Well, yes, the good stories are okay. But if you can tell a good story and execute it well, it's that much better. And one of the things that I always did say was that I don't really know what I don't know. I'm getting to the point, after a week of eating and sleeping and drinking and rolling in writing, some of it good, some of it bad, exercises that were just totally hopeless, I'm beginning to get a feel for what I don't know. And I think more to the point, and more importantly for me, is that I got tools that I can use to explore the things that I don't know, that'll help me find those things that I don't know. Things that don't have names, things that don't have identifiable, for lack of a better term, tropes. a lot of, you know, writers will talk about things like unreliable narrator or a Mary Sue or those kinds of things. Those are easily recognizable artifacts of writing, where what the narrator tells you is a lie. The Mary Sue is perfect. And a lot of people think that Ishmael Huang is a Mary Sue. I don't agree, but that's okay. It could very well be that I didn't write him well enough for people to understand that he's not really a Mary Sue. And I'm going to work on that, because I got a new Ishmael Huang series I've got to write, which I'm looking forward to. But these are techniques that we don't really have names for. He gave us some characteristics to help bring characters up, to make them round, to pop them off the page. And he gave us some dimensions to explore in terms of a few keywords and some focus questions or focus statements. Those are going to be, what I have to do now is, having inculcated them into my vocabulary, what I need to do now is forget them in my front brain and let the lizard brain, the hind brain, take over and run the fingers when the writing is going. And that's true. I know this is what has to happen. And the question is, can I trust the process that what I have been through will actually inform what I'm going to write without having to stop and think, oh, I need to put this here or I need to put that there. I can't actually, it's one of those exercises where you can't actually plan to do, well, I'm going to write a brilliant sentence on this line, because if you were doing that, then you could write a brilliant sentence on every line. And I suppose the answer is to not worry about writing a brilliant sentence on any line, because as soon as you try to do it, you can. The challenge is to write them by accident. So he's given us some tools and some techniques to use to explore different aspects of writing. And one of the things that I've discovered is that my openings pretty much need some help. Not all of them, not every one, but I could learn to do openings cleaner and better. One of the things that Robin Sullivan actually mentioned and has been after me out about for a long time is that I set the setting once and then I ignore it because I assume everybody knows what it is. And that's not viable. And I've been really leaning on characterization to kind of hide it. I need to do better. I need to bring in color. I need to bring in scent. I need to bring in taste. I use a lot of food. I use a lot of coffee. But I don't actually talk about what it tastes like. I talk about it is, and it's good, but I don't talk about what the flavor is. I don't talk about what the texture is. I don't talk about what it smells like. I need to do that more. This isn't a grand revelation, by the way. This is something that I've always known and something that I always considered that I probably did, but I just don't do it enough, and I don't do it necessarily the right way. Now, what brought this all up is what happened in the airport this morning when I started saying, all right, well, you know, I got 3 hours. I've got 2.5 hours worth of battery. So even if I can't find a plug, I can do some writing. And I've got a story that needs to be cleaned up because it's the one I owe J.R. Blackwell. And it needs to get cleaned up. So I started it out and realized that I'm doing something with this story that I want to stop doing. Or more precisely, I want to do better. And that's that I need to have the problem and the initial grounding more direct. it needs to be a kind of an adventure story. An adventure story needs to have a concrete goal. It needs to have a concrete obstacle. There needs to be something you can point to and say, this is what we're trying to get. This is the MacGuffin. And while I thought it was there, some feedback that I got said, no, not really. You may think it's there. That one word right there that tells you it's there doesn't tell us anything. So I went back, and I didn't throw the opening out. I just sort of broke into the beginning of the file and started typing. And what I wrote in, I'm going to say, 20 minutes. It wasn't a lot of words. It was not, by any stretch of the imagination, a lot of words. It might have been, I'm going to say, 300. Might have been 1,000. Actually, no, I don't know. I don't know what the file size was before I started. But might have been less. I have to look at the file sizes now. I suddenly realized it's not the same file. But I wrote maybe 300 words. And that 300 words is so much better than what was there before. And it wasn't like I was necessarily thinking, well, I've got to write this here and there and this and everything. And I was really much more on the idea of, well, if I'm really in this character's head, Captain Roland Marks, if I'm really in his head, and he's coming out of the banker's office, and he's worried about losing his ship because the bankers want their money and they want it like now, and he twists a leaf off the palm on the way up. That was the big ooh. Seems to me if I was a ship captain, might be about to lose my ship because I needed to earn more money than I could possibly think about earning. I might be thinking more about how the hell I was going to get the money, what I was going to do if the ship got taken. Maybe even just actually thinking, what the hell will I do if I lose the ship? And so I let my fingers free to do it. And it did. It isn't anything I think, I won't say it's nothing I could have written before this week, but it's entirely possible that it's something that I might not have written before this week. And I think we're going to see if things change quite a lot. One of the techniques that he gave us, and I'll talk about it today, I'll probably talk about it until you're ready to just turn the damn podcast off. It's not a technique that's particularly new to me. I've heard of this technique before, but I just never really gave it a lot of thought. I never gave it a lot of attention. One of the things that he did for us this week was that he'd take these examples of really, really good writing. And he'd photocopy 3 or 4 pages. And then we'd have to go through with markers and highlight them. What part of them is accent? Which part of them is attitude? Which part of them is opinion? What part of it is content? How is it distributed on the page? What does it look like when you see it? And how is this sentence both attitude, accent, content, all at once? And it's only 3 words. How does that work? What does that look like? Not necessarily how does it work. It doesn't necessarily. It's like I said, it's not something you could do on purpose or you do it all the time, but you can foster an awareness of it so that while the words are flowing from your fingers, you can find better choices to do 2 or 3 things at a time instead of just one. Instead of just 2, do 3 or 4 things at a time. So it was real interesting to do that on several And the other technique he said was, if you're interested in something, if you're interested in some technique, if you're reading along and all of a sudden you have this little glimmer, you're reading something and you wonder, how the hell did he do that? How did he suck me in? How did she engage me in this stuff? What does that look like? How does that work? How did I not see it coming, but when it hit me between the eyes at the end, it was entirely obvious, and I was going, oh, what does that look like in someone else's work? And what he suggested, and it's an old technique, is to take the work and type it into manuscript format on your own computer with your own fingers, so that it goes through your brain and out your fingers. And your brain-finger coordination gets tuned by it, even if you don't really quite understand how it works. And the reason I mention that is that I started reading, I picked up a couple of samples of different books that he was talking about. Robert E. Parker, Michael Connelly, I picked up a couple of Nora Roberts. And I'm looking at these books thinking, all right, how do they start? How do they ground the reader? Because he being Dean Wesley Smith, who really ran this whole thing. We did see Chris Rush a couple of times. Most notably was last night after we were all pretty much done with. And she came in and sat down and they started telling stories about the old days of science fiction. And the old guard, the first wave that's gone now. They really are the first wave. They were the Asimovs and the Clarks and the Bradburys, the people who started out with Hugo Gernsback back in the 30s and 40s. They're gone. The second generation going. Third generation is in full bloom, and it looks like I may be in the fourth generation. But my career is going to be, by its nature, short, so I'll have to make up for it in quantity. However, I started reading a Nora Roberts. Now, I have to confess, some of you know this already, and Deborah Geary, if she listens, this will laugh. She will giggle madly. I'm a sucker for romance. I really do like to read romance. What I don't like to read is stupid romance. There's so much stupid in romance that it's really difficult to find good stuff. Where if, you know, the main characters would just talk to each other for 3 minutes, then the whole plot would fall apart. There wouldn't be any story. It would all be over. That's the stupid kind of romance. That drives me crazy. What a good romance story. I'm a sucker, what can I tell you? So one of the preeminent romance writers at the moment is Nora Roberts. And we heard a lot about Nora Roberts. We didn't read any of her stuff this week, but we heard a lot about Nora Roberts and her ability to create plot and setting and character that plots then naturally unfold around. And so I picked up a sample of one of her old books. It's a short book. Jeez, it can't be. Well, the sample is 10%, so it's 200 sentences. It can't be more than 2,000 sentences, which means it's a novella. Maybe 20,000 words. Some 40,000 words. 20,000, something like that. Anyway, it's not a very big book. And it's apparently one of her older ones, because I went and looked at some of the reviews, and there aren't very many reviews on the Kindle version. There's like 13 reviews for Nora Roberts. But its sales rank is like number 200 on all of paid Kindle. So she's doing something. She's selling a pot full of them in there, only $4. So I sucked up a sample to look at it. And looking at what she does through the lens of what we learned this week, not even typing it up, just looking at it and seeing, examining every sentence as it comes out. And before you know it, I can't concentrate on the sentences anymore because she's, even though I'm trying not to, she's sucking me into the story. It's like, yeah, I want to do that. Uh-huh. That's where we need to go. That's it right there. So while I went thinking I was pretty good with character and setting, I do have to admit, boy, did I learn a lot. Boy, did I learn a lot. There were some really good writers there. There were some really struggling writers there. There were there were 20 of us. It was a big group. And there was a pretty good range. I didn't know that I was the best writer there, which was what my fear was. Of course, I don't know that I wasn't either. A lot of people had a lot of the exercises, particularly the early exercises. A lot of people had real trouble with the early exercises, dealing with accent, dealing with attitude, dealing with content. And I didn't really have a lot of problem with any of them until we got to the very last gasp. And what he did was he assigned something that was completely back-asswards. What he did was he said, all right, you got to write 2 pages of one sentence paragraphs. And it has to be, the content has to drive the form. So you have to come up with some content that's going to fit this form. And he said he knows that it was really stupid and it was really backwards, because really what happens is that you come to a place in the story that needs the form and you use it. So trying to come up with a story that needs the form, because you want to write the form, not because you want to write the story, was completely composed. I knew when I passed it in that it was like, I got one of them, I got the single line one. That was, I thought that was great. That was, that I, if I could find somebody who wants a 300-word, 400-word flash fiction piece, I might submit that one. Because that came out, I thought that came out really special. I got one of two of the fantastics in the group. He passed out for those people of exemplary performance. He reserved fantastic. I got one. And another guy got one. Joe got one, I think. One of the guys in the corner. Anyway. Who wrote an amazing, totally amazing piece. That it was just staggering, and he read a piece of it. It was wonderful. He read several pieces from several people. He didn't read any of mine out loud, but that's okay. It was eye opening. It was enlightening, and it was also inspirational isn't quite right, although it carries most of the phrase. It was, part of it was, I want to say enabling, maybe, is a better phrase, better term of term. It was enabling, because now I really do have to go home and write. I have to write a whole pile. I've got to get work up, I've got to get work out, I've got to get work done, I've got to do this. Farting around and worrying about how many words a day, whether I have a story, where I got this, whether I got this. No, that's not where I need to be. I can't be there. In part because I I don't have 30 years to fart around with this. If I'm going to get work out, I've got to get work out, goddammit, right now. So I need to take some of the discipline. I can't take all of it, because if I do, I'll die in a month. But I have to take some of this discipline that I've learned this week. This, you've got a deadline. You got to write 1,500 words of exercise, and then you have to write a 3,000-word short story over the next 2 days. Besides, so over the course of the week, I figured out I turned in 22,000 words, which is not a big week for me. It's not even really much of a strain in terms of raw word count. But I turned in accent pieces. I turned in short pieces. I turned in a 5,000-word story. I turned in a 7,000-word story. I turned in a whole mass of 500-word story starts. First two manuscript pages of a short story. I did 3 a day of those. Some of them are like, meh. The very first one was to write about a woman going into McDonald's from all these different perspectives. The woman being from London or England is actually what he said, although he did say London. Maybe it was London and I wrote it down wrong, or my brain farted or something. We had to write different accents for those, because they were from different places, and that was interesting. Now, the fantastic I got was on the Brooklyn one, where she had to be going into Brooklyn. And the thing was, the woman had to be from Brooklyn. The narrator didn't need to be the woman. And so we didn't really need to know. Actually, he probably shouldn't have given me fantastic, because the woman never said anything. So I don't know for sure that she was from Brooklyn. She could have been from somewhere else. But the narrator was definitely from Brooklyn, because the story started out, the first two pages started out was, so I was sitting in this Mickey D's down a rock, I was sitting in this Mickey D's in Kanazi, you know, the one down a rock away. No, down a Rockaway. You know the one. Anyway, I'm sitting there trying to have my morning sausage and egg and this. And it just went on from there. It was just so much fun. I giggled over that for 2 hours into the evening session, knowing that I had that one nailed down. It was so much fun to do. There's so many others starts that I don't think will ever go anywhere, although I brought them all home with me. So perhaps they'll lead to something. But perhaps what they'll lead to is different kinds of writing. Having the romance story work so well, I will post it somewhere. It will go up. I'll put it for sale for 99 cents or something. I don't know. I don't know when. I'll read it maybe and put it online. I don't know what I'm going to do with it right at the moment. If I'm going to put it online, I'd like to have 2 or 3 that I could put up for like $2.99. Maybe get enough so I got 20,000 words to put it up as a nibble. Wouldn't be a novel nibble. Maybe I'll write a 20,000 word. Maybe I'll expand it. No, it works the way it is, 5,000 words. Maybe I'll write another one. I want to write another one, let me put it that way. Writing the romance was just, it was just so satisfying, and I can't even explain why. I think, in part, it's because I was using the new tools, I was using the new techniques, I was seeing those characters with new eyes. And no matter what I write, as I discovered this morning, which was really the point of my long and rambly rant this afternoon, I don't think I can write any other way now. And that is pretty damn exciting. I gotta tell you. So anyway, I'm about to turn off the main throughway, and I need to focus on where I'm going back through the ways. I've already recorded way too much for one single podcast, but I'm going to let it go anyway. I'll put it up either tonight or tomorrow. I'm not sure. You will get to hear it. I don't know exactly when. So on that note, tomorrow is another day, and I will definitely be talking to you then.